Who's this?
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Patriots, fighters for freedom, caretakers and curators of the Constitution. It's a beautiful Sunday, even for the rain here in Tennessee. And welcome to Soldiers of Patriotism. You're here with me, Uncle Billy, and Michael B., who's heading up our Texas regional headquarters. And on this fifth day of May 2013, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. I want to talk a little about the recent trip the president, so-called president, teleprompter of the United States, made to give a speech to Mexican students Friday in Mexico City, actually. And I was sitting here looking at it, reading his speech and listening to it, and I'm going, you know, the Dalai Lama, this man has the actual gonads to go to Mexico Friday to talk to students about immigration reform and gun control. Does anybody wonder how many illegal Americans were in attendance Friday in Mexico City other than the Dalai Lama? Because he's still iffy. But I'll answer that question, none. Because, you see, they do enforce their borders in Mexico, something that we don't do here in the U.S., unfortunately. Mexico has some of the most exhaustive and strict immigration law there is. And we have that too, but the difference is we don't enforce it. It's politically incorrect. It's politically incorrect to enforce it. And the politicians, all the politicians, most all of them, are running scared from this whole Reform Act. But what burns me is we have people in our own country who fall for this lie that we cannot enforce our own United States. Here we have the ultimate socialist usurper of the Constitution and all that is holy in the world telling Mexico how we in the United States are at fault for the violence in their own country. No, it can't be the Mexican people at fault for their own violent history. It's we who are at fault. The American people, we're at fault. We're the problem. The United States of America is the problem, according to Mr. Obama. And this very idea that we are the problem, not their own despot leaders who contrive and conspire to control their own people, is beyond any idea of imagination. But this is so very typical of this administration to satisfy the liberal base and the corporate elite's message of cheap labor, no matter the cost. Look at the next product you buy and see if the words made in Mexico are printed on it somewhere. Never mind China. I could care less about China. We got that's a whole totally another different story. We got a large problem here, and it's on our border. China is not on our border, except if you go to Walmart. Okay, and this problem has been here for years. It is the cost of labor, and it's cheap in Mexico. And that's what it boils down to with business. And I have no problem with that. Cheap labor is one thing that drives down the cost of products that they can sell here. But the issue is this is all about money, and this king of the corporate liberal establishment is one of the best spokesmen to not only promote cheap labor in Mexico, but also in the United States because they want to bring the labor here, see? In his speech, Dalai Lama talks about Octavia Paz, another liberal activist just like him that had to leave his own country to come to the U.S. after supporting a murderous thug in Emiliano Zapata. But I reckon Zapata would be considered a freedom fighter to the left, just like Obama is. He's a freedom fighter. He stands up for us people. He stands up for the left. He stands up for the unions. He stands up for people that need a leg up, that need help. Does he really? The Dalai Lama said on Friday also, he said, Paz once spoke words that capture the spirit of our gathering today. In this place that celebrates your past, now this is an anthropology museum that he spoke in. He said, in this place that celebrates your past, but which this morning is filled with you, the young people who will shape Mexico's future, modernity, Paz said, is not outside us, but within us. It is today in the most ancient antiquity. It is tomorrow in the beginning of the world. It is 1,000 years old and yet newborn. Does this sound familiar? It's right out of the communist playbook. Notice the word modernity. Remember that word is, I think you will see it used more and more in the coming days. Modernity. Obama also said, you see the difference between the world as it is and the world as it ought to be, between old attitudes that can stifle progress and the new thinking that allows us to connect and collaborate across cultures. Now, this kind of thinking in that our law is antiquated and stifling, that should make you really scared, nervous, if you're conservative or libertarian. Or even if you're just a regular American, you're paying attention. I don't want to get into the rest of Obama's speech on amnesty. Is it just so much liberal sputum? But I will say we don't need immigration reform. We already have it. We used to enforce laws that we already have. At one time, we did enforce our borders and our immigration law. We profiled people that we deemed dangerous to our security and our republic. We turned them away at one time. At one time, we turned away others from coming into this country that we deemed not safe to us. It's just the same as if somebody came knocking at your door and you did not recognize them, you did not know them, or they just look weird. You're going to turn them away. You're not going to invite them in. But this rule of law, this mentality that we had kept us safe, and we were respected by others for enforcing that law. We were. We were considered a melting pot where anybody could go, but not everybody. Certain people, not everybody. But now we have a border that is so unsafe that we don't even know who's coming in or who's leaving. We don't know who's coming and going. We have ranchers being killed in Muslim prayer mats scattered about the border, and we think that by giving these people amnesty, it's going to solve the problem. And that, in my honest opinion, does not exist or should not exist. And just for background, my father came here from East Germany. He had to have a sponsor. He had to have a job. He had to be checked out by immigration officials and doctors. He had to make sure he didn't have tuberculosis or some kind of weird disease. He had to learn a language that we call English. He had to study civics. I remember my dad going to night school studying this. Our Constitution, he had to learn how to assimilate into our culture. He also had to have a green card, and he had to follow the law. The law. The Constitution. The Bill of Rights. He had to follow that. State law. He had to go to school and pass a citizenship test that I would submit to you that many people could not pass that if that same test was given today. That's what's scary. We just raise our hand. Just raise your hand. You're automatically a citizen. Now, what's wrong with that system of immigration reform? That, to me, is real reform. My father and many of your parents came to this country to make a better life for themselves and their children. And that drive is not something that you can instill in others. It's not something that you can just give them. You just don't give them a card or a pass and say, you are an American. You are free. You can't force freedom on anybody. It is a drive that must be inside you. It is an inalienable right, but you are not guaranteed freedom if you do not fight for it nor desire it. And that brings me to gun control real quickly. Obama also said Friday to Mexican students in Mexico, mind you. Now, he's talking to Mexican students in Mexico. They're not citizens of this country. He said, we recognize that most of the guns used to commit violence here in Mexico come from the United States. In America, our Constitution guarantees our individual right to bear arms, and as president, I swore an oath to uphold that right, and I always will. At the same time, as I've said back home, I will continue to do everything in my power to pass common sense gun reforms that keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people, reforms that will save lives in both our countries. Meanwhile, we'll keep increasing the pressure on the gun traffickers who bring illegal guns into Mexico, and will keep putting these criminals where they belong, behind bars. Oh, tough talk. Really, Mr. President? Really? If this is the case, then why are you and Eric Holder still running around as free men then? Seriously? You should be locked up. Common sense gun reforms? I suppose gun running does not count as part of those reforms, does it, Mr. President? Or do you have your own set of standards used to define gun traffickers? You're a hypocrite and a liar. We already have enough gun laws in the books, 20,000 of them actually, if you count all the states, with many that we don't enforce. Much the same as our immigration laws. Thousands upon thousands of gun laws and regulations, and yet this administration, in its zeal to control the American populace and to appease a liberal base of socialist voters, deems that we need more laws and regulations. Well, here's a great suggestion, if somebody wants to take me up on it. Why don't we enforce the law we already have? Huh? That would be too easy, wouldn't it? That would interfere with logic and common sense. That would disturb the voter base. We can't have that with this administration. We need more laws, and we need our Constitution trampled upon yet even more, with more rights eroded and taken away. Not one law they proposed would have stopped the shooter in the Newtown massacre. Not one. But the laws that they and their cronies propose will indeed open the door for the complete decimation and destruction of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. For when we lose the inalienable right of the Second Amendment, we lose all of the rest of our rights. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at a pivotal tipping point in this country where we open our doors to criminals without the means of protecting ourselves and our country. It's a serious problem, and the root of the problem is liberalism and politicians that are more concerned about their next frickin' election than they are about protecting and serving our great country. Now I'm going on break.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Happy holidays, everybody. This is Brad Paisley for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. When you're traveling during the holidays and see somebody who's had too much to drink about to get behind the wheel, well, get those keys and save a life. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Bing, what's going on, brother?
I'll tell you what, man, I was reading that. I was just getting a little bit more intense as I was reading it.
I can tell you were getting fired up. It was a great rant, though. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, and it can tie into
it's
so
sickening.
Many things.
It's sickening, Michael.
Well, it is very sickening. You know, this president, I'm going to just follow up. I don't have a long rant, but I just want to follow up before we've got 15 minutes before Joe Carr gets here. Some mental notes that I made over the past week. You know, I don't know, Bing. I sometimes feel like I wake up in Bizarro World every day. You know, Bizarro World from Superman comics. And, this last week we had several things that I really just makes me think I'm about ready to throw up my hands. Because I'm not so sure that the country's worth fighting for anymore. And I hate to say that because you know, our listeners know how much I love this country. But I'm really beginning to think that I'll continue to fight, we're going to fight, but that ultimately we're probably going to lose this battle against the left. I mean, you know, while the media spewed wordgasms and mentally masturbated the sheeple at large over that inconsequential basketball player, Jason Collins, for coming out and proclaiming to the world last week that he was a gay man. They totally...
Oh, no, Michael, he's also black. I did not know that.
Yeah, a gay black man, exactly.
Yeah, oh, but, I'm like, wow.
But yet they totally ignored closing comments of the Kermit Gosnell trial. Now, I mean, while it may be important to know that we've got a gay black man playing basketball, I think it's just a little bit more important that in the course of this trial with Kermit Gosnell, there was a staffer like Linda Williams who testified to playing with babies and then severing or snipping their spinal cord at the back of the base of their neck and laid them down, left there to die as they had spasms and life drained out of them. Or the janitor that testified to unclogging sinks and toilets of little arms and little legs. And as bad as that was, I think the most shocking part was that the defense brought in an abortion doctor from Planned Parenthood to testify to how, and get this, a good abortion clinic is supposed to operate, while admitting to killing 40,000 babies himself. Now, that's where we're at in this country. My God, we're in a freaking country where we have media that ignores the murder that this monster in Philadelphia has, and an attorney that's going to throw up Planned Parenthood as a good abortion clinic, where a doctor brags of cleaning, of killing 40,000 babies in a clean, safe environment, unlike Kirkman. I don't care how damn clean the place is. The fact is, babies are being murdered in those. This is worse splotch on our history than slavery was. And slavery was bad. But that's the bizarre
totally
world
agree.
We live in.
You know, and not even withstanding the fact that he used the same utensils over and over again. You know, Michael, that got other people, other women infected with HIV and so on. You know, Michael, I'm a hunter, okay? I like to hunt, okay? I do that on occasion.
I did not know that.
Yes, I do. And I tell you what, I would not let an animal that I nicked or maimed sit there and go through the torture that they let these innocent babies go through.
Bing,
you
this is a saying? Country. This
there's,
is a country where
thing called a mercy shot, and this guy couldn't even afford a net, and he charged him for per level of anesthesia that they wanted. I mean, it's insane. It's insane that this goes on every day. And this goes on. And the media, as you said, they just gloss over it. They actually glorify it.
Well, except for this particular case. They don't want to bring it up. It got all of 15 seconds this morning at the very end of Meet the Press. 15 seconds. And it was only with the I can't remember, Wayne something or another that wrote an article. That's it. That's all it got on Meet the Depressed. I mean, we've got a president that talks about wanting to save the lives of children after Sandy Hook, who did not sign the Born Alive Act as a state senator, who goes before Planned Parenthood and says, God bless them to them, that totally ignores what abortion is really about. I don't know, Bing. And then on top of that, now let's throw into that mix, okay? Let's throw in a few bright lights. Trey Gowdy from South Carolina spilled the beans earlier this week on some hearings that are going to happen on May 8th. Benghazi hearings, yes, we're back to Benghazi. Only now... it's going to include Gregory Hicks and a couple other guys. Gregory Hicks was the deputy ambassador at Benghazi, who, as a matter of fact, breaking news this morning was a release has come out from his attorney stating that everyone at the consul thought it was a terrorist attack. And there's a lot more that's going to come out with this. And apparently the administration officials have been trying to block these folks from coming out, threatening them with their jobs. Now, these are not political people. These are hardworking civil servants that have been in theater and have seen combat that are being threatened. I got to tell you, Bing, these four or five individuals, they better grow eyeballs in the back of their head, because the Obama machine and the Clinton machine have way too much to lose to let four patriots come before Congress. And they better be in good hiding or have some very good protection. And I don't mind saying that. I really don't. I look, there was who was the lawyer that mysteriously died shortly after Clinton, into Clinton's first term?
Vince Foster. With a pistol made from like six different pistols. Amazing,
wow.
Huh?
So yes,
your theory is not so far off base, because we had four people die in Benghazi, okay, because somebody dropped the ball there. And we know who that somebody is. And this is going to come out. And I'm telling you, we have to keep nailing this. Benghazi, over and over again.
Something
and
being...
these people need, I sincerely hope that they have some kind of protection, because they are going to need it, in my opinion.
What gets me on both sides, I'm not going to point the dirty finger just at the left, it's both sides, and in some cases, our side's even worse. There's a thing called the secret that's too big to keep. And these elitists that circle the wagons, look, they all do. They get up there and they circle the damn wagons. The establishment politburo class, they circle the wagons and they protect one another. And there is such a thing as the secret that's too big to keep. This is one of them. And I think this is going to be huge. I think this is going to make Watergate look like nothing. And finally, I just, we all saw my post, those of you on Facebook that follow me on Facebook, that Senator Cruz is considering throwing his hat in the ring in 2016, and I'm kind of happy about that. Now, I'm not a constitutional guy. There's going to be a lot of birthers on our side that don't like that. Not that they dislike Ted Cruz, but I've already had dealings with some of them. I don't know if he can or he can't. My understanding is that he is a natural born citizen, though he was born in Alberta. He was there with his parents. His mom is an American citizen. They were on business. He was born. The way it's been explained to me, he's held no other citizenship, that he was natural born at the time of his birth, an American citizen. I think the problem lies in the Constitution, as I understand it, that natural born citizen has not really been defined. So I don't know, but I do know this, and I'm fixing to play a little clip here. I do know that the left is a little worried about it, because we've got old James Carville this morning talking about it on Meet This Week with Georgie Porgy Puddin' and Pie. Let's take a listen to this clip real quick, brother.
Go ahead.
Begun. Senator, in your state this Friday night was the epicenter of politics. Yes, you had a duel. You had a showdown across town. Senator Joe Biden for the Democrats. Senator Ted Cruz. Sorry, Vice President Joe Biden. Senator Ted Cruz for the Republicans. Take a look.
As soon as I show up in South Carolina, there'll be Washington press coming down saying, is Biden getting ready?
So Vice President Joe Biden's in town. You don't even need a punchline. You just say that and people laugh.
Where are these guys from? Where do they think a 75-year-old is going to get another $6,500 to get the same health care they have now?
He told everyone, if anybody is attacking your home, it's attacking your family. Just go outside with a double-barreled shotgun and fire both barrels in the air. Now that's great advice. If it so happens you're being attacked by a flock of geese.
Senator DeMint, Cruz had a lot of red meat for the crowd. They were laughing. They were really enjoying it. And this came amid some stories this week that he actually is taking a real look at the presidential race in 2016.
I think he's keeping his focus on the Senate. The fact that he shows up in South Carolina was really just a favor to me and the Republican Party. But he is a great speaker.
That early primary makes no difference.
No, people love Ted Cruz because he's taken on his own party, his own leadership. He's taken on the other party. He's trying to rock the boat to get us to stop moving towards this cliff that we're headed for as a country. So I've been in about 25 cities in the last few months. All you have to do is mention Ted Cruz and people get on their feet.
I think he is the most talented and fearless Republican politician I've seen in the last 30 years. I further think that he's going to run for president and he is going to create something. I'm not sitting here saying he's going to win, and I think Senator DeMint is right. I listened to excerpts of his speech in South Carolina. He touches every button, and this guy has no fear. He just keeps plowing ahead, and he is going to be something to watch. And a lot of Republicans feel this way, George. And you hear this a lot. If we only got someone who was articulate and was for what we were for, we'd win elections. If we get these John McCains and these Mitt Romneys and these squishy guys that can't do anything. Well, there's one thing this guy's not. He ain't squishy. And not in the least.
We are anti-squishy men.
Right.
We like really hard men.
Now that
we
was
a primary that's Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz going against each other. And we'll get them all in. Let's have big, smart debate. Yeah. We can do it.
Now, and I'm telling you, to get on that, Ted Cruz is going to eat their lunch. That guy, I'm telling you, he will out in debate.
He's great. I love Ted Cruz.
I'm just saying, he's a talent.
Love them all.
He's going to be rooting for Ted Cruz.
No, I'm not rooting. I mean, I'm really sincere here. We watch him. He does things. I mean, when he started talking about William Travis in South Carolina and Alamo, this is a guy, and you go, this guy's something. Now, I don't agree with him. I think he's out there, but I'm telling you, he's more talented than all of these other guys.
Let me turn this back to.
I think he's most talented and fearless Republican politician I've seen in the last 30 years, Carville asserted.
From Carville, I guess that means a lot.
James, I know what you get when you drag a $100 bill through that trailer home park. Been there, done that. Had gumbo with them people.
Yeah, you got to help us down here. We're dying. I mean, you know, but when he brought up Rubio, I had to cringe. I was on Carl Higbee's show the other night, and I think somebody was on it. I think it was Guy, maybe, was touting Rubio. And look, this is the way I look at Rubio. He rode the coattails of the Tea Party up to where he's at right now.
And he's been abused by the establishment.
And he forgot. Well, I don't know if Mitch McConnell got to him. Somebody got to him. But it doesn't matter because he's too full of himself now. He's in that establishment mode.
Well,
and
I just don't
care for him no more. I just every time look, I have certain litmus tests that I use for politicians. And if you're for amnesty, which I don't care what you want to call it, what you want to sugarcoat it as, if you want to call it a comprehensive immigration reform or whatever the hell you want to call it, it's amnesty. I'm against that. And I'm telling you, I don't care how they want to sit there and do it. It's not going to work. Ronald Reagan was sucked into this, and he got screwed too. And we're talking 57 million people over the next decade, Michael. That's one-third. That's one-third of Mexico. That's one-third of their population.
Well,
and we're going to let them in here and give them, you know, whatever. I don't care what we give them. They're already getting whatever they want. And they can vote now, and people don't – they look at it. Now, they can't vote. Yes, they can.
We're running long here, brother, but I will say this. Mark my words. You're going to start hearing the left talk more about Ted Cruz. And what's most notable is not one word from them about whether or not he's eligible to run.
No.
But we need to take this quick break, brother, and screen a couple of phone calls.
Yeah, we'll be right back with Representative Joe Carr.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism. It's Sunday, May the 5th.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, that damn Cinco de Mayo crap. 36 minutes after the top of the hour, the phone number is 718-305-7176. Brother Bing, I believe we've got us a good patriot on from Tennessee. Speaking of Tennessee, real quickly before we bring on Brother Joe, going through the mail from Friday or Thursday, I don't know exactly when I got it, somebody from Tennessee sent me a man card with a with a really nice letter. I got to tell you, somebody knows me pretty dang good. It says, Dear Mr. Smith, it has come to our attention here at the Man Card Association that you have developed an inappropriate passion for the movie Steel Magnolias. Given your exemplary record in military service, the membership board is initially willing to overlook your initial appreciation for this film. However, in light of your repeatedly viewing this film, we can no longer overlook this matter. It goes on to say the Man Card Association has multiple levels of types of membership. Your current status of hardcore man was earned with your service in the U.S. Army's 82nd Airborne Division. However, the result of your review of your current status and these recent developments is that this membership status no longer correctly applies. However, to your credit, you are a great husband and father, an American patriot, and stand strongly with our military and its veterans. Signed, so on and so forth. All the T's and I's were dotted and crossed. To the patriot in Tennessee that sent that to me, you put the biggest smile on my face today. I enjoyed that. Thank you very much. Brother, go ahead and take the mic. Brother Bing? Well, I don't know. Brother Bing's gone. Brother Joe, are you there?
Michael, I'm here. What'd you do with Bing?
He lost his connection. He'll be calling back in here shortly.
That's all right.
Yeah, but we'll get you going here. We've got you for the next full hour. I understand we've got a really good interview lined up.
You could do worse. I'm just not sure how. But yeah, I understand you got me for an hour. So all I can say is to you and your listeners, gird your loins because we're gonna remove the sword from the scabbard.
Well, let's start peeling that onion back, and while we're waiting for Bean to call back in here, just go ahead and start in on anything up thus far, anything you want to interject. I think, for the majority of it, I think Bean hopefully call back in here pretty quickly. There he is. Nope, not yet. Yeah, there he is. Brent, Bean, you there? He's there. Go ahead, Joe.
He's having technical problems. I had the privilege of meeting Bing in person for the first time this past Thursday at a little soiree I had down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and where Bing joined me and a number of other people where I announced my candidacy for the 4th Congressional District for the United States Congress. And Bing got to hear why I think it's important that we need more men and women like Ted Cruz. I heard you guys talking about Ted Cruz in the previous segment, and I couldn't agree more. The problem isn't that we don't have men and women like Ted Cruz. The problem is we don't have enough men and women like Ted Cruz. And I can guarantee you this, if we get a few more, then by golly, I know we can turn the state of Texas around, we can turn the state of Tennessee around. And, you know, all this country needs, really, Michael, is for Texas and Tennessee to turn around and say, hell no, and we're not going to do it anymore. And I guarantee you, you would see immediately another half a dozen or dozen states fall in line. And if that's what happens, then you know Washington's going to fall in line.
Oh, yeah. Throw Oklahoma in there, because that's an awfully red state.
That's right.
They're amazing the heck out of me what they're doing in Oklahoma. But you're absolutely right, Joe. And, you know, with Tennessee, you get a united front with the three base states, Texas, Tennessee, and Oklahoma. Get some good, strong constitutional conservatives like you in up there. Maybe if we could find a way to get rid of Corker the Porker and Lamar Alexander. Though, you know, I'll take them over a Democrat any day of the week. But if we could replace either one of them with a Ted Cruz type senator and leave the other. Look, we've got our Joe Cornyn over here, who up until Ted was elected was kind of a mushy middle kind of guy. I mean, he's conservative by standards outside of Texas, but he's kind of upset us a little bit here. But you know, I think you're absolutely right. We get some more people in there, and we're going to change the face of Washington,
and Michael,
D.C.
It'll change quickly. And I don't want to. I also want to throw in Rand Paul from Kentucky, Mike Lee from Utah. I mean, there's some really good men and women serving in the United States Senate and in the U.S. House of Representatives. The problem is we don't have enough of them, and that's the reason why I'm running for Congress, to join people like that up there. Jeff Flack, I understand Jeff Flack came from the House and now is over in the Senate, and he was a great guy. You you got a number of good men and women in Congress, and all we need is a few more, and I promise you we can take this country back to what the founding fathers originally proposed and intended that it should be, and that is it's based on the fundamental principles of personal responsibility, individual liberty, and state sovereignty. And I've said that over and over again. And that's why, quite honestly, that's why Senator Cruz is so popular right now, is because he's saying the things. He's not saying anything different or new. All he's saying is what the founding fathers said 230 years ago. And it's those same words are immortal to our souls and are immortal to why this country was founded. And that's why I'm running, and that's why we will win next year.
Now, so this is Tennessee's congressional 4th district. Is that – which end of Tennessee is that?
That starts at Middle Tennessee, which is Murfreesboro, goes south to the Alabama-Tennessee line, and then runs across the Alabama-Tennessee border, covers Middle and a part of East Tennessee over to Cleveland, Tennessee, or Bradley County, just northeast of Chattanooga.
Okay. And
it's 16 counties. There's a population of obviously 700,000, just like every other congressional district. It's typically a rural area. It's a conservative area. The Cook Report has it a plus 13 for Republicans. So there is no reason why we should elect a moderate Republican. There is no reason why we should elect a moderate Republican. We have every reason in the world why this should be a deeply red congressional district.
And who is the sitting congressman in that district?
The congressman is a congressman Desjardins from Marion County, and he unfortunately has been involved in some situations that have compromised from a few years ago, some situations that have compromised his effectiveness. And because of that, and because of the way he's kind of misled, I guess, what some people say there, what his role in those issues, he's compromised his effectiveness. And quite honestly, we're in a dangerous time in this state and the country where we need every congressman and every congresswoman not only to be effective, but to be effective for the causes of liberty and sovereignty, and he's just not able to do that.
Yeah.
Representative Carr, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Back.
Okay, cool. I don't know what happened there. I got in a bit bucket, man, old programmer's term. But there's people out here, Representative Carr, that really, really wanted you to run against Lamar Alexander. And,
right.
I think that it's important that we clear up why you chose the path you chose. There's logic and emotion involved in this, is there not?
There is, and quite honestly, I did. I got a tremendous number of calls all over the state of Tennessee to run against Senator Alexander. As everybody knows, the senator has the most moderate voting record for a Republican in the state of Tennessee going to Washington. Of between he and Senator Cork, he's got a more moderate voting record. If you go to Club for Growth or Heritage Foundation, he's got a pretty moderate voting record. But I want to say this. We also have seven Republicans that represent Tennessee and Washington as part of the congressional delegation. And we don't have according to the Heritage Foundation, Club for Growth, or the Madison Project, which all three of them do an excellent job keeping these kinds of scores. And you can go to their websites, by the way, and find and look this stuff up. You don't have to take my word for it. But Tennessee does not have a single member of the congressional or Senate delegation that has an 80% scorecard or better. And that is unacceptable. That is totally unacceptable. Tennessee should have at least one, and really should have several members of Congress who have a 90% or better scorecard with Heritage or Club for Growth or the Madison Project. We need people, and that's what Ted Cruz does. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, these guys provide that high, reliable scorecard so that not only is their vote reliable, then they can be a voice. More than a vote, they can be a voice for those liberty issues that we all value so much. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be that voice to throw me out with even less than 90%.
Yeah, I temporarily put you on mute there. We got a little bit of we're getting some feedback. I'm going to try pulling you in here in just a second. And I was just looking, Joe. I was just looking at Melissa, our buddy Melissa, saying she was really wanting you to run against Lamar as well.
Yeah.
But I think look, we need good constitutional conservatives. Look, I am not real happy with the Speaker of the House right now, John Boehner. And we need Ted Cruz-type individuals in the lower house, the people's house as well, that are just as strong and are willing to buck the system, which we know that you're willing to do.
What we need in Tennessee, see, Michael, here's Tennessee is a little bit different than Texas. Texas has a Ted Cruz. Tennessee does not. What Tennessee needs, in my allegiance is to Tennessee,
right,
and to the United States. But my allegiance is to Tennessee, and what I mean by that is Tennessee needs a strong, constitutional, principled conservative who's not afraid to throw a punch. And I'm going up there, don't misunderstand me, I'm going up there to start a fight. Now, if the voters in the 4th District don't want a fighter, just let me dissuade you right now from casting a vote for me, because if you vote for me, you're voting for a fighter. If you vote for the other guy, you're going to vote for a back-slapping, pretty smile, nice hair, good old politics-as-usual kind of guy. But if you vote for me, you're voting for a fighter, and that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to go start a fight. And the problem is Tennessee needs a victory in Congress at the national level, that's Congress or Senate, and the best opportunity for us to win that victory is in the 4th Congressional District, not for U.S. Senate. So it was a calculated decision that I and my strategist made about where can we be most effective with the greatest potential for positive results, and it's in the 4th Congressional District.
Well,
Joe told me something on the phone when he was discussing this, and I have to say it was great meeting you and your wife and your daughter and your son. And me and Kurt actually went to the Slick Pig afterwards, and we did get something to eat. And we seen
pretty good eating, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hole in the wall, but it's pretty good stuff.
What'd you call it, the Slick Pig?
The Slick Pig, yeah.
Is it a pulled pork joint?
It is.
Yeah, it's
oh,
a bar.
Man.
I did not get the wings. I should have probably got the wings, but I got a sandwich. But that was cool. Me and Kurt had a good time. And I kind of lost my train of thought now. But anyways, we were talking about on the phone about you were asking me questions, and I'm like, why is he at? You know, I didn't know why you're at. But you told me on the phone that you wanted to change the direction of the party. And you you felt that you could be a motivator in that change.
Right.
And could you explain to the people what you were talking about? I think you did a little bit here, but...
Well, what I'm talking about here is we've come to rely, the party has come to rely, and I'm talking about the Republican Party, has come to rely on those individuals, the strategists and the professional politicians inside the Beltway to tell us, the people, the direction of our party. And what we've done is we've ceded that control. And quite honestly, a great example is here in Tennessee. Tennesseans are a pretty conservative bunch of people, just like they are in Texas. Our Tennessee General Assembly generally reflects that, although not exactly accurate. And our congressional delegation is a little more, as it doesn't represent it as well as the General Assembly, and our Senate delegation represents it even less. So the further you get up the political food chain, as you will, the less you identify with the people you represent. And I think what we've done is we've allowed the people, the professional political class, to tell us what to think and what's important. And what we've got in front of us is a whole slew of issues. But at the top of those issues, including how do we repeal or defund Obamacare, you know, how do we balance the budget where Congress for the last 4 years haven't even presented a budget? What do we deal with an illegal immigration issue where now we're coming up with immigration policy and it's not going to work, guys? For crying out loud, we can't even enforce the laws we got now. How are we going to enforce new laws? And then, of course, we got an energy policy that's focused on wind and solar. We've got an explosion of oil and gas reserves up in North and South Dakota and Montana. And then the piece de resistance, if you will, is this unassailable assault on our Second and a Tenth Amendment rights, which is nothing more than assault on the Bill of Rights. And if we turn loose of our Second Amendment, I can assure you all the other rights in the Bill of Rights are going away. So there's this systematic taking down of America, and guys like me and guys like you are tired of it, and we're going, we're not going to do it anymore. We're not going no. We're going hell no. We're not doing it anymore. And I think that's what I'm talking about. I think the will's there. We just need men and women to articulate that will, and that's hopefully what I'm going to do.
Well, as you said, stand firm, you know, and you have to have resolve. You have to have a basis, you know, in what you believe in. Because, look, there's so – and I told you, we talked about this on the phone. When some of our senators – and so I'm not going to mention any names because we all know who they are. But when they actually vote for something that is in our interest as conservatives or as Tea Party members or so on, we actually look at them and go, what? There's got to be a catch. There's got to be a catch here. There's got to be something that they're sneaking something through or something, you know, because it's not like them. It's the same thing with this administration. We just don't trust them because every day you turn on the TV and there's another lie. You know, you got Benghazi, you got all these other things coming out, and every day, and you can't trust people like that. If we send somebody to D.C. or to the state capitol, that we can actually say, look, I respect this guy's values. He actually upholds the values that I believe in. Then we don't have a problem with the way somebody has to vote at certain times. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. But the problem with that being is the challenge is that we as Republicans, conservatives, are playing by a different set of rules than the liberal socialist Democrats. They understand that this is a war. They really do. We don't think of it as war. We think of things in terms of policy and making our country better and promoting individuality, responsibility, liberty. We think of it in terms of policy. They don't think of it in terms like that. It's nothing for a socialist, liberal Democrat to lie or to malign or to steal or to cheat, to do anything to win. The ends for a liberal socialist Democrat, the ends justifies the means. That's why you have this whole Benghazi problem. That's why they invented a whole new narrative about what went on, about some lame video that had nothing to do with it. They didn't have a problem promoting those lies out of the White House. Why? Because they didn't want to jeopardize the president's reelection effort. It had nothing to do with the truth. It had nothing to do with valuing the principles that you and I believe in, which is integrity and honor and those kind of things. The ends justifies the means. And until we as Republicans and conservatives get mad enough to say, damn it, we're not going to put up with that anymore, they're going to continue to win because they don't mind cheating. They don't mind lying, and they certainly don't mind stealing using the tax code. And we've got to figure out how we're going to push back. But we've got to have men and women in Congress who are willing to say, I'm drawing a line in the sand. And as you just said, Ephesians chapter 6 and 13 said, after all of this, stand firm. And, you know, after you stood, stand firm. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to stand firm on this, and we're going to start punching back.
Well, I was just looking here a little bit, listening to you guys, and I'm not going to go into details because we don't walk that path. We're better than this. But it looks like DeGelaris has a pretty colorful past.
Yeah,
however you say his last name. But so you're going up against Scott DeGelaris and Senator Jim Tracy. So
right.
You got your, you know, you admit in this. Of course, Representative Joe, in the Tennessean article, that you've got a tough road ahead of you, but it can be done. And here's the thing about it with the grassroots, and I'm just going to use the Ted Cruz, because you were talking about the establishment and whatnot a minute ago. And here's what happens is, you know, I'm just going to use Texas for an example. We could paint another path that doesn't include Senator Cruz. I joined that campaign when we weren't even measuring on the polls against David Dewhurst, big money
right.
establishment politician.
Yeah.
Imagine the difference that we would have right now if we didn't have a Senator Ted Cruz. My point is the grassroots, we just as they'll do in Tennessee and grassroots outside of Tennessee that are inclined to help, as our circle of friends are in our groups. Is with that victory of the grassroots like Ted Cruz had, the same that I am sure that you're going to have, you go invigorated. You go knowing who you answer to. You don't – John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, those guys, they ain't going to change the minds of folks like you or Ted Cruz when you get up there. Apparently it got to Marco Rubio. Who would have thunk it? But, you know, that's the life-empowering part of being about a grassroots person and winning and defeating the establishment.
I tell you, Michael, you're on to something, and this is something that I've given a great deal of consideration to. And if the listeners, and I don't know how many listeners we've got, maybe 40, 50, maybe 100,000 out there that are listening, and if they can hear one thing, I would wish they would listen to this. As a deeply principled constitutional conservative, okay, deeply principled, constitutional conservative, the issues are not that difficult. And the reason they're not that difficult for us is because they all emanate from principle. We understand the principles of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We understand that we are endowed by our Creator with these unalienable rights, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Those are the principles by which we live our lives. We attempt to live our lives. And the fact of the matter is every single issue emanates, a significant issue anyway, emanates from those core principles. So when I go to anybody and they say, well, where do you stand on this, on the Second Amendment or on the Tenth Amendment or on right to life or on free trade or free markets, it's an easy question for me. Now, it's complicated by the laws that we have, but the issue is simple because it emanates from the principle. And that's why Ted Cruz can do what he can do with such confidence, because he knows what he believes and he knows why he believes it. And I'm identical in that way. And I think it's easy to speak with confidence and boldness. And quite honestly, it's easy to inspire and motivate people. And that's why we need people to join our team all across this country, because it doesn't matter where that congressman or that senator's from, if they're fighting for the cause of liberty and freedom and sovereignty, it doesn't matter what state they're from, we need them in Washington so we can return those principles and those values back to our state houses.
Yeah, and I want to elaborate on that. You're absolutely right. I don't know who it was, Representative Joe, that said all politics is local, and that's true. But I'm going to add a caveat to that. because, you know, we here at Conservative Nation Radio, I'm in Texas. I mean, I fought my butt off from what I could, from where I sit, doing what I could to help my friends in Tennessee with Zach Poskovich, just as I will do with you, because just as I did with friends that were in Karen Harrington's district down in Florida. Because though politics is local, I'll use Ted Cruz for an example here again. Yeah, I worked my butt off for him, not only from my desk, but out pounding on doors. Whereas my friends that helped outside of Texas helped as much as they could from where they sat. And the reason being is because you in the 4th District of Tennessee, or if Karen Harrington could have beat Debbie Wasserman Schultz in District 20 in Florida, those seats affect me here in Texas. What you
yes,
do affects me. So it behooves grassroots people. It's more than just fighting the grassroots in your neighborhood. Yes, that's important. You got to do that. But you got to get behind grassroots folk outside of your neighborhood, outside of your House district, outside of your congressional district, your senatorial district. And you've got to help like-minded individuals in other states to win, because it takes all of them in D.C. to do what we've got to get done. Ted Cruz alone, yeah, it's great, and I went and worked for him, but Ted Cruz alone can't do the job. He needs other people in the Senate, just like we need you and other people like you in the House.
That's exactly right. And to that point, you know, what we've got to do is we've got to rally around these men and women who are already in Washington and give them help and support. We need to give them reinforcements. They need reinforcements. And what we do when we do that is we all collectively then get together. The Mike Lees, the Joe Carrs, the Ted Cruzes, the Rand Pauls, all these guys get together, and all these men and women get together and say, you know what? We're here for one reason only, and that is to reinvigorate the communities into the idea that sovereignty and liberty are the path of righteousness for this country, and also we can return now the 10th Amendment back to the states, because the federal government has robbed the states of their 10th Amendment. And so that's the goal, because the cure for whatever ails this country is not in Washington. It's in the state houses, the 50 state houses across this country. That's the cure. And you know, in that regard, you know, if all the people, I'm just going to make a shameless plug here because Bing said I could do it. Please, if you're interested in this message and you're interested in helping Ted Cruz, or you're interested in helping Rand Paul, or you're interested in helping Mike Lee or anybody else in Washington who sees things through the prism like we do, that worldview like we do, please go to joecarrforcongress.com. That's J-O-E-C-A-R-R for congress.com. And, you know, make a donation, make a comment, friend us on Facebook, but please go to your computers and do that, because we got a real opportunity to win this House seat and make a tremendous difference for Tennessee and the United States.
Bing, let's get into a real quick hard break here and come right back with Representative Joe.
We sure will. We'll take some calls. We'll be back in about two.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans. But in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Thank you.
Live from Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
Sunday afternoon to you, Patriots. This is Sunday, May the 5th. We've got Representative Joe Carr on. It's about 5 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Again, that's 718-305-7176. You can find us at conservativenationradio.org, as well as traditionalamericanmovement.com. Conservative Nation Radio is the mouthpiece for our friends, our good friends at traditionalamericanmovement.com. And, Joe, what is your website again?
Yeah, thank you, Michael.
It's
www.joecarrforcongress.com. That's Joe Carr with two R's for Congress.com.
Great. Well, we will also, I'll get that on our show page on our Conservative Nation Radio website, as well as on the landing page.
Oh, that'd be great, guys. Thank you.
I got it right here.
I'm going to copy his banner and put it over on Tri-Dam, too, in rotation. So,
but Senator Joe, back to it now. We were talking about the importance of – it's more than just the people in the 4th District getting behind you. Yes, they've got to get behind you because they've got to go vote for you, something I can't do. But something I can do as a concerned American from Texas is get behind you and help do what I can do, along with all of our grassroots friends, buddies like Ron Edcox down in Georgia, friends over in Washington, D.C., friends like Kim Parrott over in North Carolina, and Barbara Buffing, and our friends up in Indiana, and, you know, friends, I mean – there's really a large group of grassroots people that run around in our circles that will be more than happy to do what they can from where they sit. We can't get out and vote for you, but we can help with money, and we can help push the message that helps get people out to vote for you in the 4th District in Tennessee, because what you do in Congress is just as important to me as it is to your constituents.
It is now, Michael, because everything that happens out of Washington, which is the problem, and we've got to decentralize our government and return to that federalist model that the founding fathers first initiated when they wrote the Constitution and the subsequent authored the federal papers to describe their intent at what they were trying to do when they founded this country. And you make a very good point. I mean, we all have a vested interest now in what takes place in other states when those representatives go to Washington, and we need those men and women to receive the support necessary. I will say this. We have formed an – I shared this with Bing and some guys. We formed an exploratory that didn't start raising money until February 14th. We received our first check. And in 6 weeks, Michael and Bing, I don't know if you know this, Bing, but in 6 weeks we raised over $205,000. For this campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were not even advertising it. I mean, you were, that was your exploratory.
That was the exploratory. We were an unannounced candidate. That was the response we got from the grassroots people saying, I want this man and this message going to Washington. That's what that said. And we got checks as small as, you know, $20, and we got checks as big as $10,400. And that's, I mean, literally. But we raised over $205,000 in 6 weeks. And what we need now – and so when people typically hear a grassroots campaign, unfortunately, they think that's a campaign that's all going to be done on the cheap. we're not going to do this campaign on cheap. This is going to be a $1 million campaign. We're going to win this campaign. But I'm telling you, though, if every one of your listeners out there donated 50 or 100 bucks and went to our website and did that, it would have a profound impact on the results of this election and maybe on what takes place in Washington in 18 months. So I hope they participate.
And I would even throw into that because, I mean, I've seen firsthand what grassroots can do, contributing anywhere from $1 to $100. I've seen firsthand how it can change things and make a huge impact and blow away the establishment. You guys, all of you listening, you, Representative Joe, you being, y'all know I've witnessed that. Y'all witnessed it from abroad.
Yeah,
we
right.
witnessed it here in Texas. It can be done. And let me tell you, it's the greatest feeling in the world, especially, and I don't want to, this is about you, Representative Joe, but you know, you said something earlier about how Ted has really taken off and the whole country is on fire about this man. They're on fire not because he's from Texas or this, that, or the other. It's because he's doing exactly what you want to get up there and do, and you get up there and do that, and the whole country be on fire. And isn't it funny that the whole country's on fire about a guy that's simply talking about following the Constitution the way it's supposed to be?
That's it. I mean, all he's doing, this is the miracle of our republic. All he's doing is going, guys, there's nothing new here. I'm just telling you what our founding fathers originally told us 230 years ago. And, you know, and all you got to do is just listen to these words. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. I mean, my gosh, I wish we talked like that again. And Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, gets that. He understands the Constitution. He knows why we have a Constitution. He believes in the Constitution. And that's what is attracting people to him. It's not because he's, you know, from Texas or his name's Cruz. I mean, it could be anybody, but it's not. It's Ted Cruz. And that's why we need more men and women like him, because the more we have like Ted Cruz that are like our founding fathers, the quicker and most assuredly we can turn this country around. And I have no doubt we can do it. But it's going to take everybody.
And I want to see more Ted Cruz type individuals. Now, I don't want clones of Ted Cruz. But I want individuals of like mind, as stout and like you say, you're ready to go. I mean, that reminds me of Braveheart when he rides out in the middle of the field there and they ask him what he's doing. He says, "I'm fixing to go pick a fight."
That's it. We're starting the fight. That's all we're doing, Michael.
And isn't it funny that that's what we're wanting now? I mean, that's how starved we are for leadership, Representative Joe, is to hear people say, "I'm going to go up there and I'm going to pick a fight. I'm not pussyfooting around anymore."
No. If you want kumbaya and a campfire and holding hands, I'm not that guy. Hell, I don't even know the words to kumbaya. So we're not going there. If that's what you need, if your idea is you want somebody to reach across the aisle, that's great, and hold hands and kumbaya. My idea of reaching across the aisle is grabbing them by the throat and smacking them around a little bit and says, game on. You know, I don't know, let me get this in real quick. This is great. When you had the break and you're lead back in, I don't know if you understood what your bumper music was, but it was Ted Nugent's Stranglehold.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. That is our theme song. It's Ted Nugent's Stranglehold because, I'm telling you, constitutional conservatives, principal constitutional conservatives, are going to put a stranglehold on Washington real soon. So that's appropriate bumper music, brother.
And I tell you what, as glad as I am that Ted is in the Senate there with Mike Lee and Rand Paul and some others, it's more important to have folks like him where you're going because that's the people's house. The closer you get to the people, the more important it is. And that is the people's house. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Senator Cruz. I love what he's doing. But the House of Representatives is where it's at. And we need folks like that, like you, in there picking those fights, putting that war paint on and picking the fight.
Well, all I know is I can't think of anything that I would rather do than stand with Senator Cruz, Senator Paul, and Senator Lee at a podium, along with some others, across the country. We're just saying, oh, by the way, we're up here to pick a fight. We're up here to pick a fight on behalf of the citizens of this country and of the state, these several states. And I think we're going to do it. But we need everybody's help. We need everybody's help. Yes.
We've got people in chat that are saying that if you don't go up there to start a fight, they're going to come up there and start one for you.
That's right. Well, you know what? That's what we need. We need that kind of citizen leadership. But Lord willing, if the voters determine that I can be that kind of person, that's what we're going to do.
Well, I want to pull Kurt in here, and then we've got Ron on, and we've got Kim on. But you know, with what you and Bing just said, Representative Joe, with what Bing was reading from the chat room and how you just responded, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I've been asked several times, am I of the opinion that we might ever see a physical civil war again in the country? I don't know. I don't like to be thought of as someone that wears their tinfoil hat too tight. I think we are kind of in the middle of a civil war. Not like the one we had in the 1860s where we're firing shots at one another, but I think for a lack of better analogies, we are in the midst of a civil war for the heart and soul of our country right now. What could it turn into if things don't change, and I mean change in the next one or two elections? I'm not so sure that we might not start seeing some uprisings. I can't say that that's out of the realm of possibility.
Well, I'm sorry, Bing, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I think we're in a precipice in our history right now. We're at the top of the cliff, and there's two ways.
And what I was going to, let me just interject. What we're seeing is a breaking apart of our country. There is no single issue that's dividing us like it was during the Civil War or the war between the states, however you want to describe it. But what we are seeing is we're seeing a breaking apart. And you're seeing a wholesale lack of confidence in the federal government, Washington, to get anything done. I mean, my God, man, they can't even submit a budget. They haven't submitted a budget in 4 years, much less pass a budget or even a balanced budget. I mean, Washington is all but paralyzed. I mean, and they're paralyzed from the neck up is their problem. And so what we got to do is we've got to provide them the appropriate medicinal remedy to so that they can function again, and not function for their purposes, but function for the will of the states and the will of the people. The other thing is I think we got a little glimpse when Obama tried to push a repeal in some measure of our Second Amendment rights, and that's exactly what it was. It was an attempt to erode our Second Amendment rights as a result of the Newtown, Connecticut massacre, that he tried to erode that. And you saw the Senate buck up because they realized that that was something the people were not going to tolerate. And now you're seeing an explosion of people joining the NRA. And I believe everybody realizes that the defending of our Second Amendment rights is absolutely key here, guys. It's paramount. Because if we lose that, I think we can lose everything else.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's what I said, too, in my opening monologue. I mean, the Second Amendment is key. I mean, we have to have that to protect the others, as you said before.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and bring Mr. Blackwood in real quick, Michael. If that's okay.
Yes. We've got
about 15 minutes with Joe or less, and so.
And the phone number is 718-305-7176. Y'all give a call if you've got. It doesn't matter if you're from Tennessee or not, folks. Representative Joe wants to hear from you. Go ahead, Kurt.
Hey, Michael Bing, and especially Representative Joe Carr.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, and it's good to hear your voice. It's good to hear you saying the things that you're saying. I already know what's in your heart, but your message needs to be repeated to Tennessee and to the whole nation as often and as loudly as you can do it. You're one of our spokespeople. You're going to be in a position. You're already in a position to shout louder than most of us can. The public will hear you, and the public will sense and hear and feel the passion in your voice and the conviction that I'm convinced that you have. You can be one of the leaders. And by the way, I thought you were talking about gathering up that bunch to get on the podium with her a while ago. I mentioned a guy in chat on Blog Talk Radio here, and I hope, I haven't heard anything about him recently, but I hope he's still doing what he was doing. That's Daryl Issa. Any comment on him, one way or the other?
Thank you, Kurt. And quite honestly, sometimes I guess I need to apologize. Sometimes I get pretty impassioned about I just believe we are in dire circumstances, and I love my country, and I love my state, and I love the liberties that our founding fathers enumerated to us from God, through them. Our rights don't come from the Constitution, gentlemen. They come from God, and they're just enumerated in the Bill of Rights. And I'm passionate about that because I see our country wasting away, and we are involved in a war. And the other side gets that. We don't get it yet, but we better get it. And all I'm saying is I'm not going to wait around for the other side to take the fight to me. I'm going to take the fight to them. And I'm just trying to find out who's with me. I know Ted Cruz is, and I know Rand Paul is, and I know Michael is, and I know some people in Congress are, like Joe Wilson and Joe Walsh some of these guys, Jeff Duncan, Trent Franks, Jeff Lack, I know they are, Michelle Bachmann. Tim Scott, we need a few more, and then we can be on our way. So thank you, Carl.
Don't apologize for that passion ever, brother. You just keep it fired up, okay?
That's not a problem with that.
Yeah, and let me reiterate. You know, I said a long time ago that we're at war, and we are. It's not a shooting war. We're in an ideological, political war. We're fighting every day, and those that don't realize it yet they're just asleep. That's all you can say about it. And again, I'll reiterate on this Second Amendment thing. I had occasion to say this to a group just yesterday, again, that without our Second Amendment rights, the rest of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution are dust under so many jackboots. That's my personal number one. There are others just important. The First Amendment, our freedom of speech, which is under attack. Our freedom of religion is under attack. The bogus so-called separation of church and state theory that the left preaches is that's not in there. That's not even in there. And of course, everybody on this radio show knows that. But the left is playing that game. They're playing us like a fiddle when we allow them to get away with it. And I'm in danger of getting my bucket tipped over here. But anyway, just keep it up, Brother Joe. We're behind you.
We are. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kurt. Stand tight. Let's bring in Ron Kim. You're up on deck. Brother Ron Adcox from Georgia, how are you doing today, my friend?
You know me. I'm always ready to blow something up. What reaction this has. Brother Joe Carr, I want to extend an invitation for you to forget Tennessee, move to Georgia, and let's get it on.
I told you, Representative Carr, we got people out of state wanting you to come to their state. California, Alaska, Georgia, you name it. You got a home, I guess, anywhere you want to go. But you don't want to go anywhere. You want to serve Tennessee and the United States of America.
You know what? I can serve Tennessee, and I can serve Georgia and California and everybody else, and I can serve it by, you know, going to Washington with this message that everybody believes in and our founding fathers died for. Let's not forget, of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, half of them were dead within a year after having signed it. And those guys put their fortunes, their families, and their lives on the line, and sometimes we can't even be inconvenienced enough to pull away from the boob tube to get involved. And so, Ron, I really appreciate you calling. I would ask that you tell your friends in Georgia down there to get onto my webpage, Joe Carr for Congress, and see if you guys can't participate on Facebook or make a donation. I'm telling you, if I can go up there and do this, you got guys in Georgia that can do it too. And, you know, we don't need to be like, we need to fight with the resolve of the Alamo, but with a different outcome, okay? That's what we need. We need to have that resolve to stand firm like they did at the Alamo, but with a different outcome.
Well, and you want to know something? You're right, Representative Joe, but just as a Texan, I'll tell you, it was a shame to lose those 160 men, you know, there at the Alamo. Would rather not have done that. But the symbolism, what their defeat is what won Texas her independence.
Well, Michael, I would tell you this, that the Battle of the Alamo is what won the war.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The Battle of Alamo is what won them. Now, to be sure, everybody gave their life, and Santa Anna marched through them like locusts through a field, through a wheat field. But at the end of the day, it was Sam Houston, if you remember, outside of Houston, that drew him in and decimated his army in what, in less than 30 minutes? And that
about,
was it.
About 18.
Yeah. And so the point being is those men's lives were not lost in vain. All I'm saying is we don't. I don't think we need to go that far, but if we do, then we do. And that's just the way it's going to have to be. But the fact of the matter is we can have the resolve of the men and women at the Alamo without the same end result. But if that's the end result, then that's the end result. But we've got to decide what we're willing to fight for.
Exactly. Well, let's bring in here real quick because we are running down to the bottom, and I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to field their call. Let's
here
bring
I am,
in our sister from North Carolina, Kim Parrott. Kim, come on in here.
Hey, guys.
How's it
Hi,
going?
Hi, Kim. How you doing?
Hey, Kim.
Well, yeah, Bing has already told me not to try to steal you, Representative Carr.
No, Bing, well,
hold on
a second. Now, Bing, you just got to step aside for a minute. This young lady's got a voice like honey. I don't know if I'm going to be able to resist going to North Carolina or not.
Sweet
and
as
pie. They got good pulled pork in North Carolina, too.
Yeah, sweet as no potato.
Yes,
go ahead, Kim.
So I've already plugged you in on Facebook, and I'll continue to do so. I've got a few friends in Tennessee.
Good,
that,
thank you.
I'm going to think about, see if they can help you out, you know, Tea Party groups and everything.
Good, excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you.
But yes, I believe we're in a big political war right now, and I don't see it getting any better unless something really turns around in 2014.
Well, you know, you never know what God's got available to us if we'll just be obedient. And that's why, you know, we use as our motto, you know, having after all this, then stand firm, which is Ephesians 6:13. It's just stand firm, and if while you've stood, stand firm, and that's what we're doing. And you know what? I think all we need is a spark, and this whole thing's going to go up into a roaring blaze. And I'm just the tip of this spear. You know, there's a whole lot of people hearing my voice who want to get involved in their local political theater or at either at the local level, the state level, or at the congressional level, and I would encourage them to do that. There's a lot more of us than there are of them if we'll just get up off our keisters.
Well, and I think, you know, Representative Joe, I'm sorry, hang on real quickly, Kim.
Okay.
You know, y'all in Tennessee, just like us here in Texas, you know, I'm going to be supporting General Abbott, Attorney General Abbott. I'm sorry, guys, to the rest of the country, but perhaps one of the, if not the greatest Attorney General in the United States right now. Attorney General Greg Abbott has led the charge against President Obama. And but just like you, same with Attorney General Abbott, and I speculate across the country, it's probably not going to be till June. The end of this month, later this month, beginning of June, before everybody starts really winding up for the 2014, because we've all been waiting for our legislative sessions in our respective states to get over with.
That's
and,
right.
But I think, you know, we saw a banner year in 2010. The Tea Party had a fabulous year in 2012. I think we're going to go over the top in 2014, Joe.
You know, I'm telling you, I talked to some political strategists who are a whole lot smarter than I, who've worked on presidential campaigns, senatorial and governor campaigns, and they tell me that, some of these people are establishment people. They tell me they're worried because not only is there an anti-incumbent mood out there, there is an anti-establishment mood. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus. I hope that's the case. Because it's enough to be anti-incumbent. We need to be anti-establishment. And because the establishment, even the Republican establishment, in many respects, has sold ourselves down the sold the party down the river for the sake of their own political fortunes without regard to the effect on our states and our country. So we just I hope that's the case. It's my prayer, and that's why. And another again, that's why I'm planning on going to Washington is to overturn the tables of the money changers.
Mental note to self, by the way, Bing, we need to speak to our friends at Patriot Voices. I know they weren't much help with Zach Poskovich. They weren't much help with Tennessee at all, but I think that's because Patriot Voices was just getting going. But we definitely need to touch base with them as well as the Kane people.
Oh, definitely. We got another caller, 601. I'm going to get them online real quick with Joe, and then we'll let Joe go and enjoy his Sunday. And nice talking to you, Joe.
Thank you, Bing. It's good seeing you at the event this past Thursday.
That was fantastic.
You've had a very short order. You and Michael have become dear friends, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much,
601-329-5080. Hello?
Hey, this is actually a longtime friend of Joe's. Just wanted to give him support from Alabama, and he's a great man. Grew up with him just about. Tell him it's kid. Kerry, David, and Vicky's brother.
Hey, brother, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Alabama.
Thank you, Kerry. God bless you. Kerry Tomlinson is a strong patriot. He's one of us, guys. Thank you for listening, Kerry.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you up there. I'll come visit you in D.C. then, Joe. You're going to do great things up there.
Thank you. Well, we got to get there first. boy, it's good to hear your voice. God bless you.
Good hearing you too, Joe. Take it on.
Thanks.
Thank you much, Kerry. And Representative Carr, thank you so much for being on our show today. Again, your website
is www.joecarrforcongress.com. And watch the Al Sharpton Joe Carr video debate. It's about 8 minutes long. I'm sure your viewers might find that quite entertaining. We got it up there.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good. That was really good. There's a couple other videos flying around out there, too, that you were in. You were in another one. I can't remember the name of it.
Well, we did one about Alex Jones. Yeah, that's right. I didn't do that one. That was Disarmed. It's called Disarmed, and it's on
Disarmed.
YouTube. So, yeah, it's on YouTube. Yeah, Disarmed. So it's pretty good.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, for joining us today. I mean, I appreciate it. And we're going to try to hook you up over here in Warren County, at least, to get you to show you the ropes over here.
Well, Bing, you've got my email. Just let me know when a good time to come over is, and we'll work it in there. And you can take me to your favorite hole-in-the-wall barbecue joint. How about that?
That might be my own house. I've got a full bar and a dance stage and everything. I got drums.
Oh my gosh. Oh my god.
It's a fun time, I'm telling you.
Plus Tina.
Plus Tina, yeah, she's a good singer. But anyway, thank you so much for being with us today, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Michael Bean, thank you very much. God bless you, and God bless America. Bye-bye.
God bless you. And Michael, I don't know if Michael's still here. I don't think he's still here. I think he done dropped off on me. But anyways, we're going to go on to a quick break if I can figure out how to work this here. Michael's got it all laid out. But, thank you for Joe Carr for being here, and we'll be back in two.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
What would you say?
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Soldiers of Patriotism. We're experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties here. My co-host, my brother from another mother, Michael, kind of dumped off on me there. Yeah, I think he's back now. So let's go ahead and bring him back in. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, but it's the weirdest thing. I started, something happened. I don't know if it was Skype or Blog Talk related. And I started getting the sonar sound. But blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I was getting that earlier, too.
And so anyway, I'm back in the studio, but I have no control. Nothing's lit up for me. I don't want to hit any buttons because I keep having this end episode box pop up. So I'm not going to touch anything for the next 25 minutes, which is sad because I do have a special going out song there being it is I don't want to give it away. It's the JH or the initials.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, that we'll need about 4 minutes for the outgoing on that, but that's my special outgoing song of the day. But I am here, but I can't control a thing. I can't answer any phone calls. I can't screen. I can't do anything.
Well, that's fine. That's why you got me, man.
I mean, thank goodness for that. I need someone to keep my butt straight.
Well, you got your man card, though, so that's cool.
I did get my man card.
Yeah, that I thought that was very funny, and I know who did it.
I wish I knew, but, man, I got to give that brother or sister a big ass hug.
Try to cipher it out, you'll figure it out. Man.
That was it. Well, it came from Knoxville, so let's see. That's just north. It must have been a Kurt, because I think that's the side of Tennessee. I think Paris, Henry County's pretty close to Knoxville, isn't it? No, Knoxville's on the east side.
No, they're way apart.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Memphis. Well, Knoxville's on the other side of the
state. Put it this way, I'll give you a little hint. Who does graphics that you know? So let's just put it that way.
Oh, was it from winning?
I ain't saying for sure.
I love that. Oh, well, I got to tell you, I chuckled. And when I first looked at it, Angela said, somebody sent you a man card. And I get stuff in the mail all the time, and she handed it to me. And I looked at it, and I said, well, let me see the letter. And she handed me the letter, and I started reading it. And I'm like, wait a minute. There's too much on here that somebody knows about me for this to just be a random. Somebody's read some of the stuff I posted. It was great, man. It was just great.
He told me about it and showed me some of the stuff he was sending, but yeah, he does that stuff occasionally.
I'm gonna frame that letter.
Did you by any chance get a sticker on it that says like noxious material or hazardous waste or something?
No, my actual man card says Man Card Association member name Michael B. Smith, member status Great American Dad. So, you know, I have been reduced because of the Steel Magnolias. Yes, callers, let me tell you. I've got a top 10 list of chick flicks that I like, and Steel Magnolias is the top of that list. I don't know. Call me quirky. You know, I just – that Olympia the one that plays the opposite of the redheaded lady that hung out with the Rat Pack. What's her name?
I wouldn't know. You're talking to a guy that doesn't watch chick flicks.
Well, I don't normally.
Or if I did,
it's good Southern comedy, man. It's a hilarious movie.
Fried Green Tomatoes, I did watch. Okay, I admit to that, but that had Nick Searcy in it. Okay, so you know. But I don't know about Steel Magnolias. I don't know if you're talking about Bette Miller. I don't know who's in there. Maybe somebody in chat will sit there and tell us.
Well, I'm going to see if I can at least get a chat window up here since I can't mess with the studio. At least maybe I can mess with the chat board. But anyway, look, we're down to about the last 10, 15 minutes. So we might as well go ahead and open up the lines with whoever we've got left on and round table a little bit. We got somebody. I mean, that was a great interview with Joe Carr. And look, we all know we've all been running in the same circles for 2 years now, most of us. And we know the importance of, whether I live in Tennessee or not, getting behind a man like Representative Joe Carr. He has the same values I have. I believe in him. And, of course, it's not a far stretch to want to support somebody that you know, and that the folks that you do know that live in the state where that person's running say, you know, hey, that's the guy that you need to be behind, Michael, because we live here. We know a little bit more locally what's on the ground. Just kind of as the same courtesy as y'all have all given me on, and it's not that we all have to get behind the same candidate, but in the same respect that y'all have given me some of the candidates I've been behind here in Texas that our circle of friends have gotten behind. And I believe in that's how grassroots works. And, you know, Representative Carr was absolutely right, Bing. You know, we have become such with the 24/7 news, with everything affecting everybody, politics is no longer local anymore. What happens in Tennessee's 4th can affect me and my family in Texas 12.
Oh, most definitely. That he reiterated on that before when we talked to him. You know, and he does not just work for Tennessee. The taxpayers pay. He works for everybody. You know, and we have to understand that, and I think, and I know he does. I know he does, you know. So, yeah, if you're in Georgia, if you're, especially if you're around Tennessee, because, and the same, you know, opportunity that we helped out with Ted Cruz. I mean, I didn't know really nothing about Ted Cruz until you started harking on him, and I said, wow, I started listening to him. I like this guy, you know, so start helping him out. So, but, yeah, we in Tennessee do not, as Joe said, we don't have a Ted Cruz. We don't have a Rand Paul. We don't have, you know, even a Marco Rubio to some extent, which I don't think we want that. But we don't have that here in Tennessee. We haven't had for a long time. And it's time that we did get somebody up there that's going to fight for what we think is right, what they think is right. You know, if we believe in the principles and the foundations that they have as a politician or as just a regular person, that we won't have a problem with how they vote. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, you know, with people like Lamar Alexander and Bob Corker, when they sit there and vote a way that comes down to how we're thinking, we're sitting there going, we're freaking out going, okay, something's going on here. This ain't right, you know, because it's out of the norm. It'd be like Obama telling the truth for a change. You know, that ain't going to happen. So when it does, you're going, wait, okay, something's fishy. Something ain't right here. But yeah. we got Kurt, we got Ron on, and the number is 718-305-7176.
And we want to thank Kim Parrott for calling in. I think her and her son Nolan are going to be on next week, I believe.
I think it's next week. John Stevens we got coming up too, the Sissification of America author. So I have to firm all this stuff up, man.
Next week, but we do have Kim Parrott and her son Nolan coming on, and we're going to talk a little homeschooling action with a mother and her son and the reasons why they went to homeschooling. I think this is going to be a really good show we're going to do, and we're going to need I'm looking at some other folks I want to get in and kind of bring in this Common Core. I know Kim's real big on the knows a lot about the Common Core and the C-Scope stuff as to why this homeschooling is so attractive to folks that are willing to make that sacrifice to do so, which I got to say, shamefully, I've not made that sacrifice. It's kind of I don't know if my wife and I are afraid to make that sacrifice. We're in a very good school district, a very conservative Texas, you know, out in the country rural school district, but large enough so we've not been inundated by the C-scope crap, which is common. It's the same thing as Common Core in the rest of the country. So that's going to be a real good show. Next week with Joe Stevens is going to be another good show. Scott McGoohan, by the way, everybody, if you've not seen Variety or any of the news, by the way, Bing, I did get, have communicated with our friend Wayne Kyle. Things are doing well for Wayne and Debbie. They're just very busy. Got an email from them this morning, as a matter of fact. You know, the project that Chris Kyle was working on has been rebranded. I don't know the name of it right off the top of my head, but it's been rebranded. They're moving forward with it. Wayne and Debbie are doing good. Ty is doing well. It looks like Steven Spielberg's going to be making a movie out of the book American Sniper. I want to talk to Scott McGoohan, who is a friend of ours now. And Scott's going to be coming on our program in the upcoming future. He was the co-author of American Sniper. So there's a lot happening that's going to be happening here on Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio.
Oh, fantastic, man. I tell you what, I seen Kaya the other day at the NRA, ILA meeting.
Yes, and, down in Houston.
I tell you what, I was sitting there. I had tears in my eyes, man. Judge Jeanine Pirro, just she knocked it out, too. But, I mean.
I should have got that clip.
You need to watch that because that. Well, you obviously did, but. She knocked it out. Sarah Palin, I don't know, she was kind of wishy-washy to me, but it's not that I don't like Sarah Palin, it was just I don't think she was really totally into it, you know, but yeah, Judge Pirro and Tyra, I mean, they were great. Absolutely.
Well, and I
fantastic.
Have the Kaya clip. It's just it was so long, I didn't want to tie up a lot of time on today's show with it, but it's on my wall, folks, and we'll put it on, I'm sure it's on Tradam. A great speech she did down in Houston day before yesterday, Taya Kyle. So, and by the way, the statue is in the lost wax process now. So we're moving along with that. Greg's busy, cool. Keeping busy. I think we're going to be working on that Benghazi statue thing before too long. So anyway, look, we're running down to the end here. We better get Kurt and Ron on here for closing remarks, brother.
Yep, Kurt. Mr. Blackwood, Mr. Chairman, how you doing?
Mr. Chairman, okay, whatever. hey, listen, Bing, something you said a while ago, I think, you were talking about we didn't have somebody in Tennessee, I mean, like Cruz, I mean, you know, we got Joe Carr, but I want to toss a name out to you in a situation. You're aware of the Balance of Powers committee that was formed before the end of the last legislative session, is it? Are you not?
Yeah, vaguely.
Oh, okay, all right. Now, keep your eye on that Balance of Powers Committee and the activity. There's not time to go very deep into that. As a matter of fact, there's not time to go into it at all right now. I don't know that I want to, but this to everybody listening, and you too, Michael, because this is going to matter to this is going to matter to the whole United States of America. Tennessee is the first to do this. We have that Balance of Powers Committee in place now, and there are plans afoot regarding that. And I'm going to give you a name. I want you to watch that name. That's Judd, J-U-D-D, Judd Matheny.
Matheny? Yeah, he's from around here.
M-A-T-H-E-N. Yeah, he's from over in your neck of the woods there, Bing.
Yep.
I have the pleasure of knowing J.
should pretty well for quite some time now. And most people, unless you've followed his career, don't really understand who and what Judd Matheny is. He was Speaker Pro Tem for, you know, up until this past year, and he got shafted. I'm not going to go into that. It was part of the political upheaval in Nashville that happened because of some people that are there now. I can't say too much about that at the moment. But anyway, Judd Matheny is the chairman of that Balance of Powers Committee. And I have no concrete evidence. All I have is whispers and rumors here, but I'm just going to tell you to watch for the name Judd Matheny, and when you see it pop up, if you see it pop up, because he got bounced out of his Speaker Pro Tem spot, did not decrease his popularity as a conservative representative in the state of Tennessee. It did not decrease his knowledge. The man is a wealth of political knowledge, and he is a true conservative. He's one of the few up there. A couple of years ago, we had a list of 18 state representatives that we counted on that were the top solid guys. That number is a little higher now, but I don't think there's anybody that ranks any higher on that list than Judd Matheny does. So just keep your ear to the ground and listen and watch for that name and for the activity of the Balance of Powers Committee in Tennessee. I think you're going to see some great action out of that group, okay?
I definitely will, Kurt, and thanks for calling in. And, yeah, Matheny, he's over here. I think his brother was sheriff for a while over here, so I like him, you know, and I know he got screwed over pretty good, so.
Yeah, Melissa in chat saying, our buddy Melissa Bonahan is saying a possible or a potential candidate to run against Lamar. So I think that speaks highly of Representative Matheny with Melissa, both Melissa and Kurt speaking so highly of him.
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, I like him. Judd's a good guy. I think he got screwed over. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He got screwed over. So, but he's a good guy. Hold tight, Kurt. Ron, let's bring you in here.
Hey, buddy.
From Georgia, how you doing?
Well, it's good to hear from Joe again. I like to cut up with him, but he is a good guy, and I hope he'll make a big addition to Tennessee and the whole country.
Oh, I'm sure he will. You know, and you just gotta like his hard, you know, hitting responses to questions that we ask him. You know, and questions that others.
Attitude is great. You can't fault him a bit for his attitude.
No, when I talked to him on the phone, you know, we were talking about, you know, the politicians like Lamar Alexander and some of the as he said, the straight hair kind of guys. I wasn't going to tell him he can borrow my hair if he wants to look like off the wall or something like that. But,
yeah, boy.
he's just a nice guy to talk to. His whole family is just very, very, very good people. And hopefully he's going to get out here. My neck of woods here in the next couple of weeks or so, and we'll take them about and do some things.
Well, raising all that money in just a couple of weeks was pretty fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a short time. I don't know, a couple of weeks. I think it was a couple of months or something, or a month or something. But yeah, he raised all that money without actually putting out anything. So, you know, without advertising and that kind of thing. So if you can't contribute and you're out of state, you know, feel free, because we need people like this in Washington, man. We need them. Good. Thanks for your support, Ron. We definitely do appreciate it.
Thanks, brother Ron.
And Michael, we're winding down here to 5:31, so...
go ahead and get... I just want to say to everybody, thanks for joining us again. You know, we're really... pretty blessed that the amount of people that do choose to spend a couple of hours with us on late Sunday afternoon every week. I think I don't want to say it speaks highly of you and I. You and I are just a couple of good old boy rednecks that get on here with our buddies Kurt and Ron and Chuck and Kim and other folks, Melissa, and, you know, all the regular cast of crews. But we got a lot of folks that just that just tune in from their mobile devices and listen. So to all of them, I want to say thank you to our friends that join us weekly on the show and input information. Thank you very much. You know, we're really blessed. I can't believe how blessed we are to do what we do every week, brother. I can't believe how blessed I am to have you as my partner doing it with me, to have Tred Am in my life, Conservative Nation Radio, two great organizations that go together like peanut butter and chocolate.
Well, something like that. But, yeah, you know, Melissa's saying, well, you know, okay, yeah, we also have John LaRosa on here, you sensei, and and Brad Marston and from Terra Force Strategies. And hopefully we can get them hooked up with Representative Carr. Maybe they can help him out. And
you won't find two better great patriots than John Sensei John LaRosa and Brad Marston.
Oh, definitely not. No, I mean, I got to sit there and cut up with them here and there, but yeah, they're great people. And on that note, Michael, it's been a great show. We didn't do one commercial to this whole show.
No, I'm going to Huntsville, but that's okay. We're going to end this show. We're going to end this show with a special song that I'm a big fan of Jeff Healey Band. You know, Jeff Healey, as you know, brother, is the blind guitarist that does the Roadhouse type music. In fact, he played in that. He was the singer there at that movie at Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. So, why don't you take us out with Jeff Healey Band doing Stuck in the Middle with You?
Well, thank you, Michael, and I'll talk to you a little bit later. Thank you all for joining us, and have a great day.
Well, I don't know why I came in tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared of things to fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I'll get downstairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am stuck in the middle. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you, and I don't know what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile off my face. Losing control, I'm all over the place. Pounds to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am stuck in the middle with you. Well, you started off with nothing, and you found you all but self. Stuck in the middle.